Hey, good morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Wild Card Wednesday. Get your requests in now. Any song, any artist, anything, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. We are going to talk Oscars a little bit later on and play the aggravating SNL trivia game. That's all coming up. But right now I want to welcome to the studio Anthony Whitaker and Grant Drager from the new American Folk Theater production of Deep in the Heart of Tuna, which is playing now through March 5th. And we welcome you guys to the show. Welcome.
Thank you so much. Thank you,
Anthony, welcome back. And Grant, you were on the show a couple of, like 2.5 years ago for Hey Dancin'.
Yes.
The musical.
Hey Dancin', the musical.
That's right. Over at my alma mater, the Factory Theater.
Yay.
Very, very, very cool. I have to tell you that, and I think Dan told you this off the air, that after you guys made that visit, we began Fly Jams Friday, which is
cool.
Now a regular feature on our show, thanks to you guys coming in. Because the play that we're talking about, Hey Dancin' the musical, took place in the 80s, and it was scored by Laura McKenzie.
The amazing Laura McKenzie.
The stupendously talented and funny and awesome Laura McKenzie.
Incredible.
Who I've had the incredible joy of directing in several shows. She's just amazing. But she did music that was inspired by that Fly sort of, you know, New Jack kind of style in the 80s and stuff like that. And so we started reminiscing about that. We were playing like Johnny Kemp Just Got Paid. And it became this thing that we now do every Friday morning called
That's
Fly
so
Jams
cool.
Friday.
Yeah.
So there you go. You're partially responsible for it.
It's a great show.
Yeah, that was a funny show. Very, very funny show. And man, the music was so good. She's just amazing.
She knocked it out of the park.
She did.
She really did.
She
it
did.
Was so much fun.
Yeah, you guys performed a couple songs that morning. It was fun. Very, very cool. Well, welcome back.
Thank you.
Anthony,
thank
you. How you doing, man?
I'm great.
Yeah, it's always good to see you.
I'm
thanks for coming
great.
Down. We got, in fact, we got some tickets to give away for the show.
We sure do.
Okay,
all right.
And we'll talk about that a little bit. But let's, again, just to remind everybody, tell me about the New American Folk Theater.
The New American Folk Theater is a Chicago storefront theater company that's dedicated to telling the American story. And we've been in existence for a little over 5 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And this is our 8th or 9th production. I can't remember.
Yeah. The last time you were here was for My Life is a Country Song.
Yes.
And
the Chicago Musical Theater Festival.
Yeah, that was really great. You performed a couple songs.
Thank you.
That was really cool.
Yeah,
and so you guys perform out of different spaces?
We do.
Yeah.
We do. Right now we are at the Pride Arts Center at the Buena space, which is on Buena and Broadway, formerly known as the Alley.
That's right. And it's at 4147 North Broadway.
Yes.
And you guys are performing through March 5th.
March 5th.
Yeah. And people can get tickets at the newamericanfolktheater.com?
.org.
.org.
Yeah.
Okay, .org.
There's a link there that takes you to Brown Paper Tickets.
Oh, Brown Paper Tickets. Okay,
yeah,
sure.
It's Brown Paper. So if you want to go straight to Brown Paper Tickets.
You can get your tickets there,
if you put
too.
In the word tuna, we're usually the first one to pop up.
Yeah. Yeah, there aren't a lot of plays right now with the word tuna.
But there's that Nick Kroll one.
Oh, yeah.
There's a Nick Kroll play with tuna in the title and two actors who play all the roles.
Is that right?
Yes.
That's weirdly
it's a
similar.
Weird niche.
Yes,
it's
and it has
universe.
Nothing to do with the tuna show. So
wow, the showtimes for this show, which we're going to tell you all about, is Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays at 8, Sunday matinee at 3, and there's a special matinee performance this Saturday.
The next two Saturdays.
The next
yes.
two Saturdays. So you have a special 3 o'clock. Is it 3 o'clock
yes.
performance on a Saturday? So you have a chance to see it. First of all, tell us all about it. This is from, you know, for people who are not familiar. This is the 4th or 5th.
This is the. Fifth.
Fifth in the series, the Tuna series.
A fifth with an asterisk.
Right, right. And it all started with Greater Tuna.
It all started with Greater Tuna.
I think a lot of people know what that play is and have seen it. I think it's great. But give us the background for people who might not know.
Tuna, Texas is the third smallest town in Texas. And the Tuna plays are a series of plays where two actors traditionally play all 22 of these characters, or however many characters are in the show.
Right.
Tuna just turned 35, the original Greater Tuna.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, 35?
35.
God, I am old.
So there's Greater Tuna, there's Tuna Christmas, there's Red, White, and Tuna, there's Tuna Does Vegas, and now there's Deep in the Heart of Tuna, which is actually a best of.
Oh, it's like a compilation.
It's a compilation that follows one particular storyline.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And tell everybody about the writers of this, the people that wrote it.
The three writers were Ed Howard, Joe Sears, and Jaston Williams. And Joe and Jaston created the show. I mean, were the original actors.
Oh, okay.
So they wrote it and played the roles. And they did it for 30 years.
Yeah.
And Ed Howard was the director and co-writer. They created it for a party. It was one of those things.
How did that happen?
I think it was a Ed said it was a Halloween party. I could be wrong, but they did
started
like,
with the guys doing the radio station, right?
Right. It's all sort of based around radio station WOKKK in Tuna, Texas, 275 watts. And
it's a little bit different here. We got 50,000.
The skies aren't as clear here.
Okay, go ahead. So it starts out there.
Starts out there, and then you basically get to visit all of the strange inhabitants of Tuna, Texas.
Mm-hmm. And I remember my mentor, the great Roy Leonard, loved the Tuna shows.
Yeah, they
he was a big proponent of the shows.
Oddly, they're not done in Chicago like they are around the country.
Yeah.
I mean, there's certain theaters, Actors Theater of Louisville did it for 14 years.
It played for a while here, though, years ago.
With the original cast.
With the original cast, yeah.
Hasn't been repeated as much as some other shows.
And it's so funny, because when people come to see the show, they'll afterwards say, oh my God, this reminds me of this family member, or I'm from this area of the country, and it reminds me of this, reminds me of that. So Chicago's got such an interesting population of people that it taps into this nostalgia for so many audience members when they come to see the show.
Yeah. I remember it played a lot. I'm trying to remember the space where I saw it.
You know, I was at the Halsted Theater Center.
That's it. That's it. Yeah. That's where it was. And I saw it there a couple of times and really enjoyed it. It's just fun to play all the different characters. You guys having a good time?
It's a blast.
We have so much fun together
on
stage.
And he's the best.
Oh, he's the best. No, we have a blast.
Yeah. Actually, I met Grant doing a Cowardly Scarecrow show, musical of the Living Dead.
Yeah.
And I watched him on stage and I said, I'm going to do Tuna with him.
Very nice.
In the first 3 minutes, he's like, we're going to do the show someday.
And Musical of the Living Dead?
Yeah.
What'd you play in that?
I played Ted.
Oh, man.
I played Ted, yeah. I started out doing
That's fantastic.
That's a blast.
That's a great role, too, man.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's fantastic. Where'd you guys do that?
The original production was out at the Charnel House, and then when they moved to Stage 773 and started doing late night productions, I moved in the late night cast, and then the original actor who played Ted moved out to California, and so I stepped up and I started doing the earlier productions.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, very cool. How long did you do that?
I think 3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
I didn't realize that.
Okay. Yeah. That's 3 years. That's a long.
I think they did it for about 5 years total. They did 2 years at the Channel House, and then it moved to 773 for like 2 years. And I think last year was the first. This last October was the first time we didn't do it.
Yeah, that's sad.
Yeah. Well, you know, but they're working on some new stuff. So I think coming up in the next, I think around Christmas time, you should keep your eyes out. There's some new stuff
from them.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Good stuff.
I will definitely do that. It's interesting to you guys have both done this, been in long running shows.
Yeah.
I don't think people realize how tough it is to just not be bored out of your mind. It's true. I mean, we did White Trash Wedding and a Funeral at the Factory for over 3.5 years.
Wow.
And I did a play called Alive that I was in. We did that for like 3.5 years. And, you know, it's real easy to phone it in. And, you know, but it's interesting because as the director, you know, if you're not in the show, you got to go back and see it. Like if it's running for a while, you have to go back and see it.
Yeah.
I remember I went like after White Trash Wedding and a Funeral was running for a while and I wasn't in the cast because I was in it for a long time, but I wasn't in the cast and I didn't see it for a couple of months. And I went back and watched it and I was like, we need a brush up.
Yeah.
we are going to have a rehearsal on Wednesday.
Fun, but not this
much fun. Exactly. Just remember that the people who are in the audience, many of them have never seen this show before. So just got to do it for them, not for yourself. So, all right. Anyway, you guys hang on, okay?
Yeah.
And we're going to talk. We got some tickets to give away.
Yes, we do.
And we'll tell you more about the show, and we'll give away some tickets and all that cool stuff. Anthony Whitaker is with us, and Grant Traeger is here, too. The new American Folk Theater's production of Deep in the Heart of Tuna, which is a terrific series of plays, is now playing at the Pride Arts Center at 4147 North Broadway. It runs through March 5th. And we have a link on our Facebook page for all the tickets. News is coming up next. All right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. I'm your overnight dude, 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. every weekday morning. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5, the great Steve Cochran at 6 with your morning drive. We're going to be talking Oscar stuff, including best and worst hosts and biggest upsets and surprises. It's Oscar week, and we're going to be talking about it. And tomorrow on the show, I will probably give my predictions in the major categories. Since I'm going to be off on Monday morning, you know, I consider like the Oscars is like a national holiday.
Sure.
So I'm taking the morning after off.
That's really smart.
Yeah. And Anthony Whitaker and Grant Drager, by the way, are here from the New American Folk Theater's production of Deep in the Heart of Tuna. And if you're familiar with the Tuna, the plays. Now, you guys, how many parts do you actually play?
I have 8.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm 4.
4?
I got a break. I thought I got a break, actually. And then I found out that I just keep changing from the same 4 characters back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
But how many costume changes do you
have? So I have 13 changes in Act 1.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow. How many people backstage helping you out?
1.
Just one.
Yeah. When that was, we went, we're going to need somebody after the first couple of
weeks. You tried by yourself. But then you guys got a dresser.
It technically worked.
Yeah.
But then I think the first 5 seconds of walking out on the stage and then going, okay, now we're good.
Tell me about the Grant, let's start with you. Tell me about the different characters that you play.
So I play, I play all 3 of the children. I play one of the radio disc jockeys. I play Vera Karp, the not so pleasant woman across the street. I play Dixie DeBerry, the city secretary. Let's see, who am I missing?
Snavely,
who owns the used gun shop.
Who owns the used gun shop. Yeah.
Now, when you're switching between male and female characters, are you wearing makeup? Are you doing full
makeup.
Drag? No makeup?
We've got some incredible wigs by our wig guy, Keith Ryan, who is terrific. And we've got amazing costumes by Kate Van Camphausen. And that really helps.
Sure.
Yeah. It really helps a ton.
So, Anthony, what are your characters that you were?
I play Thurston Wheelis, who is the DJ on the local radio station. They kind of serve as the Greek chorus for the shows.
Yeah.
And I play Bertha Bumiller, and I play Bertha's aunt, Aunt Pearl, who has a proclivity for getting rid of dogs she doesn't like.
Her lovely bitter pills.
And then I play one of the dogs, Yippee.
You play a dog.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. We do have tickets to give away. Why don't we give away a pair now?
You got it.
If you guys want to go and see Deep in the Heart of Tuna, it runs Thursdays, Fridays and Saturdays at 8, Sundays at 3, and there's special matinees for the following 2 weeks through your closing weekend.
Yeah.
Yes.
At Saturdays at 3 as well. So why don't we take the 6th caller, Dan? 6th caller, 59, or what am I giving? What am I doing? 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. The 6th caller gets a pair of tickets to see Deep in the Heart of Tuna, courtesy of the New American Folk Theater. So, Grant, the last time you were here was a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
How did you get started into acting?
I started as a kid. I think it was my parents wanted to give me something to do to keep me out of trouble. They didn't know that was actually probably going to get me in more trouble, or a different kind of trouble, maybe.
Yes.
I started acting classes as a kid. I grew up in southeastern Michigan, so I went right by Toledo. So I went into Toledo to take some acting classes. And at my last class, the teacher said, "Hey, you need to audition for the show." And it started up and just never stopped.
Yeah.
And I got to a certain point, and I was like, "What else am I going to do?"
Do you remember, was there anything specific? Did you have an epiphany at any time as a kid? Like you saw something and said, "I want to do that"? Or were there performances that stuck with you?
Well, there's 2 performance experiences as a kid that really stuck with me. The first truly emotional experience I had, I saw Once on This Island. And I remember I was wrecked for a week.
Yeah.
And I didn't really get it. I didn't understand why. But I was like, but it's not how it's supposed to end. I've seen Disney. And then I saw this actor. It was the same group theater. This tree fell on stage. And the audience, you kind of heard the gasp. And then the silence. And the kid just goes, "Timber." And I was like, that's it.
Yeah.
I want to be that smart person that gets it and just, they're there. They're in it. They know, you know, and that's, I'll never forget it. I was probably 10.
I love when those things happen, when those unexpected, because that's one of the magical things about live theater is that anything can happen. I'm sure we all have different stories, but do you have any stories about something like that happening? Weird stuff on stage and then coming back from it?
I've done the Tuna shows. I've done 5 different productions of different shows in the series. Once when I was doing Tuna Christmas, each character had their own Christmas tree, and that was basically the set. And one night, Dee Dee Snavely's tree came out on stage on fire.
Oh, my God.
It just rolled out on fire. Yeah.
When you see the show, it ends up
blew it out, and the tree just rolled back away. Yeah.
One of my favorites of things like that that happens on stage was we were doing White Trash Wedding and a Funeral back at the Loyola Space up in Rogers Park.
And, when I first saw it.
Yeah, and we had like three or four just flats that represented the set. And Mike Meredith, who I wrote Alive with and who was one of the funniest people on the planet, at the end of the play, at the end of White Trash Wedding and a Funeral, everybody basically gets killed. Mike is drunk. He's got a gun. He just starts shooting people, and everybody's falling over. And everybody dies at the very end. And at one point during the climactic moment, one guy gets shot, and I have him spin off stage. He spun off stage and knocked the sandbag off the bottom of the flat, and the flat tipped over onto Mike. So Mike is now holding the flat up, shooting everybody drunk, and then like he shoots the last bullet. He shoots. He goes bing 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 bing, and he follows it with his head until it hits him and kills him. So he does the whole bing bing bing. He's holding up the entire time. He's got his hand on the flat, holding it up, and then because his last line in the play was he would shoot and he'd go, "Who's going to drive me home?" And then he dies. So that's the last line that he has. But this particular night, and the audience is like, "Oh, my God, the whole wall is going to fall down." And there's bodies strewn all over the stage. Yeah. And so Mike's got his hand on it. And the bullet, bing, 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 goes into him. And he goes, "Who's going to hold up this wall?" And then he falls down. And then the wall collapsed, man. And yes. then Aunt Shirley got up, did the dance with the, and then it was all over. But that was one of my favorite moments. I was in the booth doing sound at that time, and I was like, "Oh my God," because I directed the show, and I was like, "Oh God, who's going to hold up this wall?" The whole place went nuts.
Yep.
Because in situations like that, the audience is rooting for you.
Oh God, yeah.
You know what I mean? When something like that happens, and when someone says something like that, Timber, that just is like, boom. You know, that's it. So fantastic. Hey, we want to congratulate our first winner, Mark.
Mark
is going to be coming out to see the production of Deep in the Heart of Tuna. So there you go. Have you ever done multiple characters in one show before? Is this your first time?
I don't think, well, no. I don't think I ever have.
Yeah?
No. It's a whole new experience, for sure.
And well, obviously, Anthony, you have.
Yes, in these shows.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In several shows.
In several shows, yeah. Tell me about the director.
The director is Derek Van Barum, and he's got a little double feature going on at the Pride Arts Center because he also co-directed Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
Wow.
Which is on the main stage.
Mm-hmm.
He directed our production of Johnny Drago's Trash last year, which we were in for.
You guys came up for that, to talk about
Derek
that.
Derek is one of the hot directors in town right now.
Yeah.
He's doing a lot of stuff.
For good reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah.
He writes the best notes I've ever had from a director.
Is that right?
Yeah.
What about him?
They're concise, and every time I would read his notes, I would think about something new.
Great.
It would open a different door
and
make me go, "Oh, I hadn't thought about why I'm doing this line
or
why I'm answering this phone or whatever."
That's great. You're a director, I'm a director as well. That is a massively huge compliment.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like the compliment that you want to get. Like, live, you know, when you say you love your director's notes, because normally when it's notes time, it's like, "Oh, God, here we go.
Yep.
You know,
or it's a, "Oh, what did I screw up now?"
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I always tried to make it as pleasant as possible after a rehearsal, and just to do the notes and try and be as funny as possible, and and all that stuff. I've told this story before. I don't know if I've told you this story. When I felt officially old, it was this the second time I came back to the factory. I'd left the factory for a while, and I came back, and I was directing a show called GIs in Europe, and the cast was at this time I was in my 40s. I was like 41 when I came back and directed the show, so. The cast was like a lot of them were in their 20s and stuff. They were younger and, cared. And they came in. And so I'm given the notes. And one of the notes that I gave was to an actor, a terrific actor named Paul Matreon, who now lives in New Zealand. And he was playing a character who throughout the entire play is drinking. And he gets progressively drunker and drunker and drunker. And so we were rehearsing a scene that takes place about halfway through the play. And he was playing it way drunk.
Yeah.
So my note was, pull it back, because by the end of this play, you'll be dead. If you like, your character will be dead, or will have to have his stomach pumped at some point. So, but I said to him, and he was just a few years younger than me. So I said to him, my note was, "Hey, don't Foster Brooks it so much." So I am greeted by looks of complete, like from, and Paul got it. He wrote down the note and he went, okay, thanks, I got it. And then I was going on to the second note, and then I kind of looked at the rest of the cast in their 20s, and they're just looking at me like I was speaking Swahili or something. And I'm like, you guys don't know who Foster Brooks is, do you? And they're like, no. And then I had to explain to them he's this comedian from the 60s and 70s, and his entire bit was he was always plastered.
I'd say he had one bit.
One bit. One and bit. It was funny, but it was one bit. And so that was when I realized, I was like, yeah, you know, I'm old.
I'm old, but I still can say that I used to get him confused with Foster Grant.
Both big drinkers.
Yeah. Oh, really?
I don't know. All right, hang on a second. There aren't a lot of people named Foster, so that's why, you know, I can't even think of anybody but Foster Brooks. Foster Grant, that's about it. Foster, yeah.
All right. Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway.
We should have a kid.
Name him Foster. Yeah, I lived on Foster for a while.
I lived on Foster, too.
All right, Anthony Whitaker is here. Grant Drager is here. The New American Folk Theater, Deep in the Heart of Tuna. A great series of plays. Very entertaining. These guys get to really work their butt off and make you laugh and have a good time. And you can check out all the information. We have a link on our Facebook page. And we'll talk more. And also, we're going to talk about an event called A Night at the Opry, celebrating some American music, correct?
Yes.
All right, we'll talk about that coming up right after this on WGN. Welcome back. It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're having a great time talking about theater, horrible theater experiences on stage. You were just telling me you fell off a set at the beginning of a show and
dressed as a cheerleader. I knocked half of a trailer over.
We can laugh about it now. It's horrifying in the moment.
Oh God.
But, oh, man, some of these things. I was telling you that my friend Mike was in a play called A View from the Bridge, Arthur Miller play.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a big fight at the end, and he is supposed to get stabbed. But he forgot the knife. And so right in the middle of the fight scene, he had to make eye contact with the actor and say, strangle me. And so he had to strangle him on stage because he forgot the knife. It's just, but, and at that moment when you, like, if you're on stage and you're like, oh, my God, I'm supposed to have this. My knife is not here. My knife is backstage. Yep. Terrifying.
Our first weekend, because we have so many lines in the show.
Yeah.
Which, you know, we're doing a half a play.
Yeah.
The first time you got a laugh in front of a real audience, there's a moment of, oh, God, what do I do next?
Yeah.
They liked it.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Crap.
That's absolutely true. Yeah. And the other thing that's amazing, and you guys can both attest to this, and all the stuff that we ever did at the factory, as you know, you were in a factory show.
Yeah.
They were all comedies for the most part. For the most part, they were all comedies. But the thing is, and you guys know this, if doing theater, no audiences laugh at the same thing every night.
No.
Ever.
And you think this line kills, and it's, you know, like, this is it. This is our great kill line. Nothing. And when you get crickets the first time, like, if you're getting consistent laughs on this line, you get crickets one night, it's like, I don't even know what to do now.
Or press night.
Yeah. So how are your reviews been good for this?
The reviews have been really good for us.
Yeah.
Oddly, and this is a, I don't know, I think this is a product of our time. There are audience members who aren't sure if they can laugh.
Mm.
We run over a dog,
mm-hmm.
but the dog's already dead because I killed it with strychnine.
As you do.
And back when this was written,
it was an egg sucker. So
right. You
know. 35 years ago, it was hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to kind of give the audience permission to laugh at it. And there's some racial humor in this. The thing about the tuna shows that most impresses me is that, like Roseanne or All in the Family, it holds that mirror up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And shows you the true American story.
Yeah.
It doesn't pass judgment. It just holds a mirror up.
Mm-hmm.
So there are times when the audience is not quite sure if they can laugh at something.
Yeah. No, we're living in unprecedented times at this moment, you know, and anything that kind of pushes boundaries in that direction, people are going to go, I don't know if I'm allowed to think this is funny.
We actually had a review saying, after the year we've had, I'm not sure I want to watch these people for an entire evening.
Yeah.
And I was a little disappointed.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
we can't ignore these people. There's, you know.
Yeah.
We all know those people.
Oh,
I
yeah.
think we're related.
Many of
to
us
them.
Are those people.
Yeah.
So, yeah. No, it's great stuff. And I'm, a real challenge for two actors to do all this. We got another pair of tickets to give away. We'll give away one more pair of tickets. And we'll do the fifth caller this time. Is that cool, Dan? Caller number 5, 312-981-7200 for a pair of tickets to see Deep in the Heart of Tuna. It plays at 4147 North Broadway at the Pride Arts Center here in Chicago through the 5th. We have a link on our Facebook page for tickets. But if you'd like a pair of tickets, be caller number 5 right now at 312-981-7200. Okay. Tell me about a night at the Opry and when that's happening and all that cool stuff.
We have a regular cabaret series that runs at the Den Theater. And it's just going to be a group of our friends getting together and singing some good country music.
Mm-hmm.
We thought with Tuna, a night at the Opry was a good, a good cabaret to hold at the same time.
Right, right.
We haven't done it yet. We've done Tom Waits a couple times. Mm-hmm. And we've done a...
You did Woodstock.
We did a great
Woodstock. How much fun was that?
It was so good.
Yeah.
I think there's some stuff on YouTube, actually, on New American Folk One. Mm-hmm. That's our YouTube channel.
Oh, that's your YouTube channel. Okay. And it's at the Den Theater on Tuesday the 28th.
Yes.
And Tuesday, February 28th. That's also Fat Tuesday.
It's also my birthday.
Yeah. It's your birthday.
Yeah.
Fat Tuesday and your Punchki Day. That's yes. Punchki Day.
Is that Punchki Day?
Oh, yeah.
They've got Punchkis in Jewel already.
I guess people are getting ready because it's in less than a week.
They're left over from last year. And Jewel just put it in the back.
Are there leftover Punchkis, really?
Maybe the Jewel ones. I don't know.
Maybe the Jewel ones, not the ones from the Good Bakeries.
Yeah.
So anyway, but that's Tuesday the 28th. What time does it start?
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock,
and it's at 7:30. It's okay. A very casual evening of music, mm-hmm. booze.
Right. $10 or suggested donation.
Yeah.
It is pay what you can, but suggested donation is $10. And then buy some drinks while you're there.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's a night at the Opry. How many people do you have lined up to be performing?
God, I've talked to 6 people today.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Now, we've done some shows with 20 to 24 people.
Mm-hmm.
But this time I decided to go for less people doing more music.
I see. Okay, that's cool. Do you have your go-to? Do you have people who consistently do the cabarets?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Hey, we have a winner here on the line.
Hey.
It's David. Hi, David.
Hello, Mr. DiGilio.
Oh, that's Nick. My dad is Mr. DiGilio.
well, still.
All right. David, you got yourself a pair of tickets to Deep in the Heart of Tuna.
Wow, thank you.
And it's at the Pride Arts Center, 4147 North Broadway. It runs through March 5th. So you got a couple more weeks to pick out the date that you want to see it. Okay, David?
Great.
All right. I appreciate you listening. Thanks.
Thanks, David.
Thank you for doing the program.
Okay, yeah, stick around afterwards. Say hello.
There you go. All right. Thanks, David. Okay, there you go. David's our winner, our second winner. Thank you guys for bringing a pair of tickets.
Happy to do it.
Pairs.
Yeah.
It's great. So the night at the Opry is Tuesday, February 28th at the Den. At 1333 North Milwaukee. And all the information you can get on your website, correct?
NewAmericanFolkTheater.org.
Okay. And we have a link on our Facebook page as well.
And
Facebook.
We spell theater with an R-E.
Okay.
We're that snobby.
Yeah. Every time I think of you, I think snob. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, and some extra information that we just got this past weekend. Ed Howard, who was one of the writers and the director of all of the Tuna shows, is coming to our final performances on the 4th and the 5th, and we're doing a talk back on the 4th.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great. So that's an added incentive to maybe go on the 4th. You can do a Q&A with him. That's pretty cool. You guys nervous about it?
No.
No?
You know, we did a show a year and a half ago.
I'm like, hell yes, I am.
we did a show called The Summer of Daisy Fay.
Right.
Which was written by Ed, adapted from Fanny Flagg's first novel.
Mm-hmm.
And I stalked him on Facebook until he gave me his play.
Mm-hmm.
And we did it. We were nominated for a Jeff for it. We had a great time. And he came up to see the last two shows.
That's
that
great.
Run. And he became our fun uncle from Georgia.
Right.
So Grant's nervous now, but once he meets him,
I mean, we're Facebook friends, so, you know.
Oh, well, then you're fine.
Yeah.
Then you're fine.
That's the standard.
Yeah. And Ed was the one who picked us out to premiere this in the Midwest.
And that's quite an honor.
It is a huge honor.
That's this is quite an honor.
One of my heroes gave me a play.
That's great.
So
cool.
That was
great. Anything coming up for the rest of the season? What else you guys got coming up?
Oh, wow. What else? We have a lot of developmental stuff coming up right now.
Mm-hmm.
We're developing a new play for the International Wizard of Oz Club convention that's going to be in town this August.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Wow. Does it come to Chicago often, every year? Or?
Not every year. The last time it was here was when Wicked opened.
Okay.
Because we went to opening night of Wicked with the author of the book and a couple of the Munchkins.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Wow. How many Munchkins are left? Are there any Munchkins? Just one, right?
There's one adult. There was one who was an adult. And I think there are four women who were children who were dancers
who are still alive. Yeah.
But okay. Jerry Maron, the lollipop kid, is the only...
He's the only one left.
He's the only midget Munchkin left.
And he is how old?
He's 90-something,
right?
97 this year.
Gotta be, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a great guy, though.
Wow. Amazing. All right, well, have fun with that. Night at the Opry is happening on Tuesday, February 28th. It's going to be just a really fun night and full of music. $10 suggested donation. And Deep in the Heart of Tuna is playing Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays at 8, Sundays at 3, and Saturdays at 3 at this point.
Yes.
Through the 5th of March. And we thank you guys so much for coming down. We have a link on our Facebook page for all the information.
Thank you.
It's always a pleasure to have you guys in.
Always.
Thank you so much.
You take care.
Thank you.
All right. We got the news is in 5 seconds here.